Happy holidays, everyone. With Christmas coming up very, very soon, we figured we'd do an episode on a Christmas movie about gays. Surprise, surprise. We're not huge fans of it, but we had a lot of fun watching it and discussing it. And in the end, we said some positive things. So if you do like this movie and you somehow make it through us roasting it for all it's worth, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Please join us for this holiday slash Christmas episode, and I hope you enjoy.
Do you watch a lot of YouTube, Val?
A decent amount, I'd say.
Okay. Well, you know, like, some YouTubers, especially, like, video game YouTubers or cultural critic YouTubers, when they're going to talk about something they don't like very much, they'll do this whole gimmick with the skit at the beginning where they, like, pretend, like, oh, man, so glad I don't have to experience that piece of media. And then inevitably they end up, because, like, they get, like, forced into it by, I don't know, something. Like, some providence of fate. Well, that's how I feel about today's piece of media in this episode we're recording. Welcome to In Media Les. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we are discussing Happiest Season, directed by Clea DuVall, starring Kristen Stewart, Mackenzie Davis, Allison Brie, Aubrey Plaza, Daniel, is it Levi or Levy?
I think it's Levy.
And a few others, Mary Holland, let's see, Victor Garber, Mary Steenburgen. So
lots of good actors.
Yeah, like, the cast is stacked. Don't get me wrong on that. And I really, okay, I hate this movie. I really hate this movie so much. And, like, I like, feel bad about it because I've, like, read the internet discourse about, like, why having, like, the kind of crappy Christmas movie but for lesbians is kind of important.
Yes.
But I don't be, but it's so bad. I get so mad every time I watch it.
You know what it
is? What do you think about it? Are you going to defend it? I'm just, like, hating on it.
I fully agree with you. So let's start with that. On second watch, not a fun movie to experience a second time.
No.
The first time it didn't feel this bad. Now after watching it, I was flabbergasted. But we'll get to that later. The most important thing is that I think All About E is better than this movie. By miles.
Wow, that is...
at least that movie...
That is a burn.
At least that movie was campy enough that it knew it wasn't the best.
Yeah.
Like, they embraced it. This one, I felt very uncomfortable in a lot of moments. And I will admit that the first time I watched it, I didn't have the same vibes from it. I think that's also something that I would...
I remember we had, like, a watch party, and I think you were a little more...
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's forgiving. Fine, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, let me start by doing the plot, and then we can you can jump in at, like, whatever bad moments, because there's so many bad moments. So it's about Abby Holland and Harper Caldwell, who are a couple. They've been together for, like, a year, and Abby is getting ready to propose to Harper and decides the best way to do that is when she meets Harper's parents and then propose to her on Christmas morning. Because, you know, when you have a proposal, you in the Christmas movie, it has to happen on Christmas morning or, like, some other, like, really eventful part. And her friend John, played by Daniel Levy, is, like, I don't know, he's just, like, a really gay stereotype, I feel like, in the first scene. And I don't know, she's just confiding in him and picking up the ring. And then they leave together, and on the way to, from Pittsburgh to wherever small town that the family lives in, Harper's like, oh, so actually I'm not out to my parents and they're conservative and you have to pretend to be heterosexual. Mm-hmm. And I just, from at this moment, like, okay, if this happened to me, mm-hmm. well, let me start by asking you, if this happened to you, what would you do?
It's very hard to imagine. Because I'd like to believe whoever I pick to be my partner would never do that.
Let's imagine you just had a real big blind spot. Okay. They're really hot. You know.
Okay. I think that it is beyond unfair.
Yeah.
It is a lot to ask in a very short time frame. However, they've been together for a year. And it was never something they talked about either. You know what I mean? So, like, right away, the foundation of this relationship is not believable.
What do you mean they never talked about it?
Like, Abby is so blindsided by it, right? But they've been together for a year. And they have lived together for 6 months.
Yeah. Harper lied to her parents. Or lied to Abby about coming out to her parents.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
It's already bad.
It's really bad.
It's, I don't know, it's, like, the first time I watched it, I was just watching it as, okay, Christmas movie, I'm hanging out with my friends, right? Like, for me, the experience was watching it with you guys.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually care what happened in the movie. Right now, okay. I watched it for homework. And, oh my God, I was so uncomfortable with so many things.
Okay, but I want to get back to that car ride real quick, because it sounded like you were about to say, like, you could maybe go along with it if you had more time to prepare. Is that the angle you were going to go with?
If my partner,
yeah,
was not out to her parents,
yeah,
and asked me, hey, for this one holiday, it's like 3 days, can you please, I want you to come, but can you please just pretend to be my friend? Like, I want you to be there for that holiday with me. I cannot come out to my family right now. Of course I would do it. You know, that's just, it's fine. That is not what happened here, though.
No.
And I actually cannot imagine what my answer would be, because I cannot imagine that situation. It's so awful. Do you have an answer?
I would just be like, I'm going home. I'm not going to do this. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been kind of the, I don't know, friend at a holiday before with partners who weren't out to their parents. Again, they told me in advance, and it was not as serious as this. Obviously, I've never proposed to anyone or planned to propose to anyone.
Uh-huh.
So it felt much lower stakes.
Yeah.
But it sucks, like, having to, like, I don't know, you, like, tiptoe. And they do capture that feeling of, like, hey, this actually does suck to have to tiptoe around things like this. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one thing I will say, is that they do a pretty good... They did it correctly in depicting that Abby is having a really crappy time, because it is a really crappy time, and I would never do it again. And I would, yeah, it just sucks. So that was, I mean, the breakup would happen probably during that car trip. Yeah, that was just like, no, this is the end.
Just leave me here. Leave me at a bus stop, please. Maybe not in the middle of a highway, but at a bus stop.
Take me to that gas station that had the snacks that John was complaining about and then buying.
Oh no.
Or they're in Pennsylvania. They got sheets. I'll go there, get a big sandwich, and, you know, have a good time. Oh my God, I had an amazing meatball sub at a Sheets in Philadelphia once. Anyway.
You have it all planned out. Good for you.
Yeah, see, I am ready. This is like, you know, how you should always have like an exit strategy. I am ready. If my girlfriend tells me in the car ride to her parents that she's not out to them, head to Sheets. That's the plan. This podcast sponsored by Sheets. No, just kidding. Okay, so anyways, they get to the house and you meet the family and they're all like, I don't know, stereotypes. Like the dad is like, I don't know, politician, and the mom is like super perfectionist. And then the sister who lives at home, Jane, who
to talk about Jane.
Yeah, she's supposed to be portrayed, I guess, as kind of autism coded. You know, it's one of those things where it's just like, is that what
what
they're going for?
She's just the victim of this household more than anyone else.
So hard.
Honestly, could not pay attention to most of the movie because I was like, oh my God, we need to get Jane out of that.
Yeah, she's just being emotionally abused.
In every single scene for comic relief.
Yes.
It was a very weird choice.
And it's not funny. Like, the whole joke is that she's weird. And, like,
she's the most normal person in that family. Like,
right? She has interests. She's putting effort into her hobbies. She's excited to tell people about her hobbies.
Whereas she's excited to hang out with her family.
She's excited to hang out with her family. She's so emotionally stable that even as they like insult her to her face, she finds the like positive out. Like,
yeah, she's mature enough to like not escalate and just, I don't know. She's just very, very emotionally in tune person. And yeah. I'm actually like really pissed by how they portrayed this character. Not how they portrayed this character, but what they did to this character.
Yeah. She deserves, I mean, like, at the end, she gets, you know, her book becomes a bestseller. She's the next George R. R. Martin or something, so good for her. But, Sloane, played by Alison Brie, shows up, who is Harper's older sister, who, I don't know, is, like, supposed to be the, like, hetero contrast to Harper's kind of being in the closet, because she's got, like, two beautiful kids and a loving husband. And they're all, like, all smiles. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they go out to dinner. Harper's, like, high school ex, a guy named Connor, is there, who's just, like, the most oblivious man alive.
Look, sometimes you just gotta vibe. I mean, he lives in that small town. You know what I mean? Like, you just gotta check out.
I think, okay, the way I was thinking about it was, like, this guy thinks he's in a different type of Christmas movie, and he's the small town hunk
yep.
that the big city girl is coming home to, but he doesn't realize in this movie the big city girl is gay. That's the twist. Like, I wish they had kind of played that up. Like, Connor should like have a Christmas tree farm,
yeah,
and like help orphans. I don't know. Well, like,
Harper is helping building orphans, presents. So.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, I don't know, just, because, like, I feel like that's maybe what they were going for, like, this kind of riff on, like, the Hallmark Christmas movie with Connor, but they needed to amp it up a bit, and it's just, like, I feel like they played it pretty conservatively with him. Meanwhile, Jane is just, like, freaking Jane. Like, no other character is on her level.
Right? She's well-rounded character with like a full story with very little screen time. It's really wild to me. Literally never been so emotionally invested in a character before.
Yeah. We also meet Riley at the dinner, who's Harper's ex-girlfriend, played by Aubrey Plaza. And man,
they did her dirty.
They did her dirty because she was so cool. And also I do love a movie though where Aubrey Plaza just wanders around in that pantsuit and just like smolders. Like that's the whole movie is just Aubrey Plaza walking around in like a very well-cut pantsuit and with like this smolder on her face.
Yeah.
And it works really well for her. Like that she's like my one character that I like. And yeah, okay. So,
well, you know, I think we're being like really, really harsh on this movie, but I think a lot of it is stemming from the fact that I don't think it actually had like a thing it wanted to say. You know what I mean? There was a lot of different things happening all at once and the pacing was a little off. And
there was a thesis at the end, actually, that I think they tried to kind of like,
but it was
ham-fistedly
so, yeah, it was so forced shove in there.
The whole thing where like John's like, oh, she'll come out when she's ready. You can't rush it. The experience is different for every family. My parents wanted nothing to do with me. You know, you don't know that what she's going through, it's different for everyone. And it's just like,
That's not what the movie supported.
It's not what the movie is saying, though.
What it showed the whole time, which I think ultimately would have been a much more interesting way of watching this movie, is that Harper is quite literally hurting every single other person in her life.
Yeah.
And it might not be like a a fair assessment, because there is something to be said for people coming out when it's comfortable for them, right? Like, there is, it's autonomy. Like, you want a person to be comfortable and feel safe when they, you know, share private information. And for some people, it's very easy. And for some people, it's very hard. This is not that movie. This movie has very consistently showed that Harper has hurt a lot of people in her immediate vicinity with her actions. Abby, yeah. First and foremost. Riley, when Riley was very young.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, yeah, of course, in high school, people are going to do very, very dumb and
everyone hurts each other.
Things.
And, yes. Yeah, yeah. But, like, it feels like Harper hasn't grown up from that is the issue.
Yes, she is still very much a very mean, like, teen. And
a mean teen.
A mean teen. We have Riley, who's still, like, dealing with it every Christmas, right? It's not,
yeah.
It's very clear that Riley has her life together. And she's only there for the holidays because, like, she has to come to the Christmas at these people's, like, parties, whatever, every year, right? Because
yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
So it's very clear that she is not actually living there or existing in that world. She's there just as Abby is for, like, a few days.
Yeah.
But every single year, Riley has to watch Harper bend over backwards to keep this, like, to keep her sexuality a secret. We have Jane, who Harper just, like, yells at all the time.
Yeah.
Which doesn't paint her in a positive light either.
Yeah.
Very often, like, when she and Sloane get into it, like, I don't actually know whose side I'm supposed to be on.
The friggin' ice skating scene, dude. Why is that? Okay, I was thinking about, like, why is that? One, why is that in there? And my only thought was, like, okay, they needed to show them doing more, like, holiday activities.
I think so. I think it's part of the cutesy, like, Hallmark movie
yeah.
thing. It didn't work, but let's say that. But yeah, there's just, I don't know, it was very difficult to watch the second time
yeah.
without the context of I'm sitting there with my friends and we're just, like, roasting this thing, right?
Right.
It's, I don't know, at least in the, like, straight movies, quote unquote, at least in those movies, I think it's practiced enough that it is correctly superficial.
Right.
We had a very similar issue with they/them. Like, it was
yeah.
really, really trying to get a point across, and it ruined the enjoyment of the genre.
Right.
This movie has something to say. It does not need to be said in a genre that is a romantic Christmas comedy.
Yes.
All
totally, I totally agree.
Yes.
I mean, okay, I think we should get through the plot, and then we'll talk about how we'll fix the movie, how we would fix the movie.
Oh, we're still not through the plot?
Dude, we're still on day one.
Oh.
We haven't even got to the, like, necklace thing, or the holiday party, or the fight.
There's, like, four holiday parties.
I mean, it's true to life. I am going to, like, six holiday parties this week, so it happens.
Yeah, fair. I've been
to
two.
Anyways, they're getting ready for a white elephant, and Abby needs a gift, so she goes to the mall, and then she's put in charge of Sloane's twins, and then they are just chaos gremlins, and for no particular reason, put a necklace in her bag, like, just to cause chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And this results in Harper's parents basically being like, Abby maybe should just stay at home. Because they think she's a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Abby tells John what's going on, but says that, but she can't leave because the Ubers are too expensive. Apparently, there is no other way to get home from this place. There is only Uber. Like,
I'd like to believe that.
Yes, this is
purgatory.
A town. Yeah, Uber-tory.
Well, actually, your place is impossible to get out of without an Uber if I'm, like, not driving and I'm going home at night. The other option is waiting on the subway for, like, 4 hours.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
And we're in the city.
Yeah, we are in the city. So, I mean, you're always welcome to just sleep on the couch. You don't
I know,
have to
but
home.
Usually I have work the next day.
Okay, fair. Anyway, so there's still more Harper and Connor bumping into each other. Abby, like, learns from Riley. They go to a gay bar and That was a good scene. It's a good scene. I like the drag queens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like the song they were doing, that with the call and response. I like that Riley makes it clear that, like, Riley's just so good. She knows what's going on. She could totally, if she were more of a villain, she would totally, like, try and seduce Abby, but she's not. She's there to be supportive of Abby, who's going through a difficult time of Harper, even the Harper, she's Harper now, Harper, even though Harper, you know, broke up with her, Aubrey Plaza, you're great. Anyways, but there's the Christmas Eve party. Abby has, sick of this crap, decides to leave. Harper is begging her to stay. They are kissing, and Sloan catches them and is like, I'm going to tell everyone. But then Harper finds out that Sloan is getting a divorce, and she's like, I'm going to tell everyone. Mm-hmm. And so they get into a fight about who's the more of a disaster person, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Sloan outs Harper, which is a really crappy thing to do. Jesus.
I mean, either way, no matter which one of them would have done it, like,
yeah, it's really so awful. They're both awful people.
They're not great. Which, yeah. They did Mackenzie Davis so dirty. She's such a fun actor. Like, yeah. She was excellent in The Martian. It looks like she had a ton of fun in Terminator. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They really were like, let's make her play a really bad person. And she does not have, yeah, like, the face for that, you know? She's Yorkie. Like, we're used to seeing her, yeah, in very, like, queer things, doing them well.
It doesn't work. And then she, like, denies that she's gay, and then that causes Abby to leave. And John follows, and that's when he drops the whole, like, thing about, like, coming out is difficult, and you don't have to do it right away, and that doesn't mean that she loves you less, and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, all three of the sisters kind of, like, have a heart-to-heart with their parents, and, like, basically tell them, like, you wanted us to be perfect, and we're not perfect, and, you know, they all, you know, share their secrets, except Jane, who doesn't have any secrets because Jane is emotionally stable and a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Abby still decides to leave. Harper goes after Abby and apologizes, and then they get back together, and Harper and Abby go back to the parents' house. The dad realizes that he's been awful, and he agrees he comes down and gives, like, a spiel about, like, I'm going to, you know, be a better dad, and I don't expect you to be perfect. And then he turns down the big conservative campaign donor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take a family picture with Abby in it this time. And then, like, we see, like, what happened a year later through some, like, Polaroids, and also a scene. Basically, Abby and Harper.
I mean, fair, yeah.
Yeah, that's their ship name, Harpy. Why would you ever ship them? Are engaged. Jane is the next George R. R. Martin. Ted, the dad, won the mayoral election. John is Jane's agent, I guess, because he's sitting next to her at the book signing, so I think that's the implication.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, like, a good, happy, big family, and they go to watch a movie in a theater, It's a Wonderful Life, which is actually a much better movie and much more worth your time. If you have to choose between Happiest Season and It's a Wonderful Life, just watch It's a Wonderful Life, I would say. You know, it's a classic. And then that's the end, and we see the mom's social media feed, and it's like, oh, they're all happy and loving family now. The end.
Mm-hmm.
God.
It's a tough one. How would you fix it, Chloe?
Oh, God. So I think one route to go, and this would be fundamentally kind of changing the movie in a lot of ways, but what I would do, okay, you could go full Hallmark and just be like, Abby, or let's go with Harper, because Mackenzie Davis would probably be the one who does this, is like, living it up in the big city, and she's working really hard, and she's got her long-term girlfriend, Abby, but she's also, like, a business bro and has no time for her. And so Harper goes home for Christmas, and Abby says she'll come later. And that's when Harper reconnects with Riley, and mm-hmm. realizes that Riley, you know, this small town life, and Riley's maybe like a small town doctor here, and this mode of life is like better for her, and then they fall in love, and then Harper shows up, and there's some Abby shows up, there's some complications, but then they come to an understanding, and Harper and Riley end up happily ever after, and Abby, I don't know, they show her meeting someone hot during the party or the wedding party or something, who knows. Mm-hmm. So that's going full Hallmark. Mm-hmm. I think it's better in some ways because it eschews... Is that a word? Am I just
sure.
making
no,
up words now?
No, it gives the correct vibe. Keep going.
Okay, I'm really tired.
Yeah.
It also gets rid of the coming out arc. I get the importance of having the coming out arc in some way. So maybe I wouldn't go full Hallmark, but I would make it like Abby knows that Harper is going to come out to her parents during this Christmas, and she's there to support her in doing that and is okay with being in the closet for a couple days while Harper finds the right time to do it. And then there's all these complications as what happens kind of already in the movie, but I'd make them less bad. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, eventually, you know, there's still the complications, but then eventually Harper works up the energy to come out. She's not forcibly outed. Mm-hmm. And the family, you could have the same thing. Like the dad could be like, you know, just leaves and like doesn't say anything at first. And like you could keep a lot of the same plot if you just abandoned that whole like we have to pretend I'm springing this on you at the last minute zaniness. Like you can totally discard that and have the same plot, and it feels a lot less crappy because then you have.
Nuance.
Mackenzie Davis.
You have nuance.
Yeah, and Mackenzie Davis Harper is not being duplicitous the entire movie. Uh-huh. Instead, she's struggling
so atrocious.
The entire movie.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but oh my god, no, I could go not ahead. Watch it. It was so bad.
Yeah, I mean, she's awful the whole movie.
The whole movie. I didn't notice it the first time I watched it. But, oh, man.
Yeah, so that's my, like, salvaging most of the plot. Solution.
Just like super lean into the tropes, of course, yeah.
Yeah. How would you fix the movie?
I think I would make it much, much more about family.
Okay.
Even though all of it is about family, but like in a way where I think we get the most of it from the father. He is actually very, very invested in something that's important to him in that moment, right? He has like a purpose.
Yeah.
We don't have that for anyone else. Jane is just like chilling, which by the way, she is one of the people who wrote the screenplay. So I understand why she wrote herself into the best character and not fault the girl. We have only the father who's invested and like working towards a goal. The mom is just kind of there.
The mom is there to be this like, I don't even know, this agent
antagonist?
Of just like,
I don't know.
Yeah, but this agent of discord.
Yeah. She's gonna walk in on them sleeping together. Like, not sleeping like that, but, like, literally just sleeping together. Like,
She just pops up everywhere in the worst possible times, and she's just never happy, and it's just, like...
And it's not fair to that character.
Yeah.
I think that character... Like, I think every character has a lot that they can have happen to them. Like, Sloane being in the middle of a divorce? That is... a lot, and that really like shows a lot of like why a lot of her actions are the way they are, and I think there could have been a lot to it. Like we see the kids in the end like hiding under a tree that really
it's because they're stressed about the divorce. I don't know, like,
it was
why
like
are they
could have first of all, like in hindsight, that scene is very upsetting. Like seeing kids hide behind a tree because it's like an argument happening, right? Because it really dictates about what happens at home. I'm really reading into this movie. But that's what happens, right? Like that is the implication with that scene. The other thing is like the whole movie is about like who could hurt each other more. And I think that's the angle that they went in with. Like,
yeah,
who's going to hurt each other more? And is it going to be Harper hurting Abby? Is it going to be Sloane hurting Harper? Is it going to be like, everything is about that angle. And for a Christmas movie, that shouldn't really be it for this genre. Of course, there is the space to do it like that. But then don't advertise it as a holiday Christmas movie. Because I think people watching it who are in similar situations, it's awful to see.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're lucky enough not to have experienced that with our families.
Yeah.
But it is terrible. I cannot imagine what it's like for someone watching it, even when they're, you know, like, full-grown adults. But watching this movie and having come from a family where that was a situation or a possibility, and then this is how it's presented to you in a comedy Christmas Hallmark movie about romance. It's very unfortunate. I think the ball was really dropped on this. This is not the genre for this sort of exploration. I would have changed it more from who's gonna hurt each other more into a family that's full of secrets trying to make things work for a holiday where everyone's together, which I think ultimately is what a lot of Christmases are like.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yes, well, the authority on Christmas.
Holidays where families get together, a lot of it, like, even in really, really good families, a lot of it is putting aside arguments and problems for a few hours, right? And trying to coexist. Like, that is the ultimate. And whether it's good stories that come out of it or bad stories that come out of it, that's almost always like the initial goal is just like to get through these holidays together. And I think this movie didn't really showcase that to the best ability, even though it has a great cast.
I'm going to blow your mind in a moment.
Yes, I monopolize the time. Please continue.
No worries. Okay, I'm changing subjects here. So I'm on Wikipedia looking at the reception.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes, 82% positive.
Okay.
The website's critic consensus reads, a jolly good time with heartfelt performances and more than enough holiday cheer. All you'll want for Christmas is happiest season. What holiday cheer? They all freaking hate each other. They get into fights. And there's just a tiny amount of, like, actually happy Christmas moments are, like, shoved into, like, 5-minute montage at the end. But sure. Entertainment Weekly gave the film a B+. Chicago Tribune gave it 3 out of 4 stars and wrote, it works, it's built, and the people seem real, or at least reality adjacent. If you think these people seem real and, you know, like, you are not hanging around good people, go find better people to be around.
I really wonder how many
Michael
of those...
Phillips of the Chicago Tribune.
I'm wondering how many of these critics are queer. I'm going to take a really wild guess and say probably not very many.
Yeah. Do you think it's kind of just like, they're just like, yeah.
That's what gays are
Christmas
like.
Movie,
yeah.
It's good. It's good. The lesbians will like it. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like, oh, this is an interesting take, but probably that's what they're like. So yeah, I've never seen it done like this before. Probably. Yeah. That actually did blow my mind. Thank you, Chloe. Oh my God. How is it so... And here's the thing. I think it's okay if people really like this movie, too.
Yeah.
Like, I actually do fully believe that. Like, if you're listening and you've made it this far, even though we're hating on something that you like, I fully support you liking this movie, listener. People like what they like. And I see, like, and the actors are good. And the scene, like, and the atmosphere is bright. And it's, I don't know, the holiday cheer is in the, you know, in the set dressing, and it's there. And if people really like it, then I'm happy about it, because it is one of the only Christmas movies that I know that are Hallmark that are queer.
Yeah.
Like, the only other one I can think of is, what's that? It's not even a Christmas movie, but what's the movie that was, about, like, this, it's not a love triangle, but it's about the girl who bikes a lot and her dad is, like, a train signaling person, and there's, like, the himbo and, like, the pretty girl, you know?
Was it Booksmart?
No, Booksmart is about the two best
friends. No, that's the two best friends.
Why am I spacing on this?
I'm tired.
Half of it.
It's been...
Half of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's the only other movie that is kind of in a similar vein. And that movie was just objectively so much better because it, like, picked a thing to focus on. And it did actually make it very real. But it made it palatable in a way where it's like, Yeah, you know they're not going to be together forever. In fact, like...
Just Val blurting out spoilers here. Snape kills Dumbledore.
Dobby dies?
Dobby do be dead.
Oh, damn it. That was good. I'm cutting this out. You can't be saying these zingers.
What?
Nah, I'll leave that part in. Okay. It'll be like a really, really awkward cut.
This is me saying Dobby Doopy Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Scooby Dooby Doo. I'm ready to pivot and I'm pulling a twist on please. You. We've spent 43 minutes trashing this movie.
Uh huh. Well, 40.
Now I'm going to defend it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm going to say we need more crappy lesbian movies.
We do. Yes.
It's okay. Like, you know how many friggin' Hallmark hetero big city girl goes home, there's stuff at home, she falls in love, movies are made every single year? Mm-hmm. Dozens. More than you could count, I think, in some probably, in some way. Yeah, they're Lifetime, Hallmark, Netflix, Hulu, they're all pumping them out. Mm-hmm. Some of those should be lesbian, crappy Christmas Hallmark movies.
Absolutely.
And that's part of, you know, like, fighting heteronormativity. Mm-hmm. I want to see one with, you know, gay men, with a trans character, non-binary character. Yeah, let's do it all. And make these crappy friggin' movies.
Yeah, make them bad.
Yeah. They don't have to be good. This one has a really good cast, and it was directed by Clea DuVall, so it's actually on the top tier in terms of those movies. But, like, shovel it out with whatever budget, whatever actors you can find. The script, I mean, ChatGPT could probably write you a pretty good script for it.
Yeah.
But just get it out there. Because we need more of those movies. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is why I am glad Happiest Season exists, even though I hate it.
Yes. I fully agree with you.
Yes. Okay.
It's important.
I was hoping you'd be like, no, it's bad. It shouldn't exist. But of course.
Well, yeah. I hoped that a movie of this caliber would at least be a little more self-aware. Like, I think that's the most upsetting part to me is that it's not. But once again, to your point, like, it's a Hallmark movie. It's chill. It's fine.
Well, I guess the weird thing about it, I feel like I always associate Clea DuVall with being in, like, very self-aware roles.
Yeah, I know. All I could think of was that, like, I liked her in But I'm a Cheerleader, and I really liked her in Faculty.
Yeah.
Like, those are my two go-to movies for her. And it's really strange to, like, see the other side of an actor, the creator, I guess.
So, yeah, I mean, I like that idea. If they just played it up a bit. I feel like if every character was on Jane's level, like, in terms of, like, just, like, totally bringing some weird, I don't know.
Being a person. Just being a person, yes. Honestly. It's okay to be, like, two-toned person, but none of these characters other than, like, a very, very, very select few. Riley and Jane is who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, everyone else was not a two-toned character. They were flat. Just really, really flat, which is unfortunate because all of them had very interesting backgrounds.
Yeah. They could have done more with it. Like, I feel like so much is shoveled into the last 10 minutes in terms of character growth.
Whiplash.
Like, there's stuff like, the mom wants to do karate. Why couldn't they have, like, hinted at that first? That there were, like,
unhappiness of some sort.
Yeah, that there were things that she couldn't do because she felt like they would make her weird or awkward in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, like, I don't know, like, yeah. I don't know what to say. It's just, like, there's so much I feel like they could have put earlier on to hint, to foreshadow what was coming, and to, you know, show that this, I don't know, it just bugs me.
Yeah.
And part of me wonders, okay, one theory I've had is that maybe this movie was, you know, produced, they wrapped filming like a week before COVID hit.
Oh.
And I wonder, and I, like, yeah, because according to Wikipedia, they wrapped on February 28th, 2020. And so part of me wonders if maybe they were, maybe there was going to be some reshooting to, like, add a mm-hmm. little bit more. Like, because, you know, a lot of movies, they, once they've cut things down a little bit, they realize they need to go back and add some more. But they couldn't do that because everything was shut down because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't know, that's my conspiracy. I have no evidence to support that beyond the date, but I don't know. That's
no, my theory. Yeah. I'm glad that you talked about the importance of having these movies.
Yeah.
Also, in general, I think I just don't like queer movies.
Wow, okay.
We watched Carol, which I was very clearly not a fan of. They / Them, I was, you know, whatever. This one, I'm like, ugh. There's a lot of queer movies that are just such bummers.
But I'm a Cheerleader. It was a bit of a bummer, but actually was a lot of fun.
It was really good. It was campy. I really liked that one.
The Birdcage. That was great.
Yeah.
Booksmart.
Okay, there actually Wonderful. Are a lot of, I guess, queer movies that I like. But so many of them are just such bummers, and they are so lauded.
Can we say that, like, this movie is called Happiest Season, yeah. and it's, like, 80% of the film is just, like,
tragedy.
Really tragic. Like, just, like,
the worst thing you can do to someone you love in every sense yeah. of the word for so many of the characters.
I was hoping, like, when I heard about this movie and I got really excited, I think I told our friend group, and I was like, we're gonna have a watch party. I thought it was gonna be this silly kind of farce, and yeah. it's not.
Uh-uh. It was just
I thought it was
pow-pow. Homophobia.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Internalized
homophobia.
Extreme.
The best type of homophobia. Oh, God. Someone's going to quote me on that. I'm going to get canceled.
Did we do a Terminator episode?
Yeah, we did a Dark Fate. Okay. Okay, that movie has queer themes. I would not count it as a queer movie.
Though. Oh, absolutely would. It had every making of a romance movie. The only thing it didn't have okay. was John Connor sleeping with Sarah Connor? Is John the son?
Sarah Connor is the mom.
I'm going to cut that part out because I will not
want some
have incest on this
wants
podcast.
Some incest.
It doesn't have the Sarah Connor falling in love with like the time traveling man and like making a baby because it is two women, but yeah. it had the exact same plot of Sarah Connor and guy whose name I can't remember falling in love and like him dying.
Yeah, that's true.
Lesbians. And Danny
Mackenzie
is
Davis's
also very
character
capable.
Yeah.
Terminator is a great movie, actually.
And we also had the asexual Terminator, which I appreciate.
Yes, yeah. So it is a queer movie.
Yeah.
Come on, Chloe.
Okay.
Credit where credit is due.
I will cede that one to you. I just wanted to like as we kind of wind down, I guess. I wanted to ask, like, this is not a good holiday movie. Like, I would not, like, I mean, I might put it on in a room full of people so that we can riff on it a little bit.
Which is what you did.
Yeah, which is what we did. And it made it enjoyable. Which, so if you have not watched this movie and want to watch this movie, do it with a room full of fellow queers and just tear it apart. You'll have a lot of fun. But what is your go-to holiday movie? I'm just totally going off subject here. But I feel like this is our, you know, like Christmas episode, so we might as well talk a little bit about that.
My go-to Christmas movie. I like Christmas Story. I don't really have like Christmas movies okay. that I watch. I, once again, don't celebrate Christmas.
I mean, is there like a Hanukkah movie?
No. No, there's not, Chloe.
There should be like a Hanukkah movie.
Should have a baby.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like... There's that Adam Sandler Eight Crazy Nights, right? Like
I don't know what that is.
You don't know? Adam Sandler made like some kind of animated Hanukkah movie back in the like 1990s.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, but anyways,
I'm not that Jewish. I'm Jewish.
Okay. You know? Okay, George Santos. Oof, that was oof. I need sleep. Yeah, I guess. So
what's yours? Yeah. What did you want to answer with the question that you asked me?
So that's why I asked, because I was thinking about it. I mean, I really like Muppets Christmas Carol.
That's right. We've had this conversation. Yes.
It's a good movie. I don't know. I always find with tellings of A Christmas Carol, like, the part with the ghosts is kind of my least favorite part. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like, because I just find it, like, he's seeing the consequences of his actions, essentially. And it feels like, especially with a Muppets Christmas Carol, which has this, like, so many fun characters. It's got the Muppets and they're singing. And then we get to the, like, ghosts and it kind of slows down a bit. And it, you know, like, it feels, I don't know, it's a little too much, I guess. But despite that, I mean, I really love it. I'm just being critical. It's a very straight movie, but I really like Love Actually.
I've never seen it, but I've heard literally only good things and maybe one or two really bad things. But
it's so problematic. That's on what I've so heard.
That it's really problematic, but it's always like with, you know, it's like a little comment on the side of a conversation where everyone just still loves it anyway.
Yeah, it's very problematic. It's just fun, and it's got a good cast, and it's well paced, and it's like an anthology of like 10 different stories that all kind of intercept. It's really well done. It's just well done. It's a good movie. So that, and then, I don't know. I actually really liked Anna and the Apocalypse.
Yeah, that was a really fun movie. I loved watching
it. I like the songs.
The songs are fun. It has a lot of like logic to the zombie stuff, despite it being just the silliest little movie.
And it has a lesbian.
It,
as Val blurted out when we were watching it, that's a lesbian.
I forgot about that, but I did.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like there was emotional maturity there in a lot of moments. Like we had the bully guy having really, really deep moments. He's like, we're not going to talk about this. Never mind. I'm not going to do any more spoilers. We have to cut out.
Go listen to our In an Apocalypse episode. It was like our Christmas episode last year, I think.
Yeah.
But we put really it out in like one. January, I think, or something. Just go back a couple dozen episodes. You'll find it. Any final thoughts on Happiest Season?
I still weirdly enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
I didn't like that they did Mackenzie Davis so dirty, but
yeah,
you know, other than that, everyone did a great job.
Give me a Christmas movie where Aubrey Plaza is the main character.
Yes, but
and gay.
And gay, but also like doing the Aubrey Plaza thing where she's like really mean and sarcastic.
I just want her to smolder in a pantsuit. She doesn't even have to say any lines.
Mm-mm.
Just has to smolder.
She just has to be there in every scene.
Yeah.
That'll be fine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're okay. Very right. Chloe.
Yeah.
What do we have?
We have some social media. Our
what?
Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest is at InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. We have a Tumblr.
The pod InMediaLez.tumblr.com.
You can email us at InMediaLez@gmail.com. Our website is InMediaLez.com. And there's a link to our Discord in the description. Please join and tell us what your favorite Christmas movie is, and or have you seen Happiest Season, and why are we wrong about it? Because apparently all the other critics really like it.
Yeah, and we'll see you in the next one.
Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss new episodes. Also, it helps us grow, and we appreciate every single one of you who follows. And if you like us, tell a friend. Just be like, hey, these two lesbians are talking about other lesbians, gays, non-binary folk, and really queer people. Once again, thanks for listening, and we really appreciate you.